chapter number 9. The book of Acts, chapter number 9. I feel like in the next few services, the Lord's going to allow me to deal with some Bible questions. And I'd like to try to challenge us with one of those questions this morning out of the Word of God. Found in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. The Bible said, "And Saul," this is the Apostle Paul before he's saved, "yet breathing and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," there's a lot of places going a lot of different ways, but I want to stay in the old ways this morning. Matter of fact, the devil is not concerned about anybody that's not gathered around preaching today. But if you're gathered around the Word of God, the devil will be your adversary. He'll try his best to discourage you. And notice this, the devil don't use animals, he uses people. The devil was using Saul. So he went to Damascus with letters to persecute Christians. I want to say today that we've probably not yet ever seen the persecution that's going to hit our nation for being in this way. I'm glad we still sing those songs. Preach out the old King James Bible, and we not change in that direction this morning. Now, I'm glad Jesus died for all, and He said, "Come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. For there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun this morning." The Bible said in verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul." I'm glad God knows us by name this morning. "Why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, and said, and this is where I want to preach out of this morning, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord said unto him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together at your house today. We thank you, Lord, how our hearts have been touched through the songs. Now I pray, oh Spirit of God, that you'd help us in the preaching time today. God, I pray you'd let preaching be easy. I pray that you'd touch our hearts and help us this morning. Oh God, I'm a needy preacher, and I realize where my help comes from, and I need you to help me today in this of preaching. Help us now to be faithful and true to you. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. This morning, out of Acts chapter number 9 and verse 6, Saul asks the question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It's a personal question. He said, "Lord, I'm really not concerned about what you want anybody else to do. But Lord, I want you to show me and tell me what I am to do." Have you ever been concerned enough about your life to ask the Lord that question, what He would have you to do? Brother Mike, I can remember years ago at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, over 30 years ago now, where God called me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that God has a job for everybody in the building to do. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter number 9, in this thought of this question, I want to show you just a few areas in our life where that we need to let the Lord use us. By what wilt thou have me to do? Now, we know the background of this story. The Apostle Paul was saved in this chapter on the Damascus Road. It lets me know where he said in the book of 1 Timothy that he was the chief of all sinners. It gave my heart hope one day when I heard that scripture. Because of all the wickedness and the things that I've done that I'm ashamed of today, I'm glad that if God saved the chief, He could save all the Indians. And so it doesn't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it. The same God that saved Saul on the Damascus Road can save you this morning. Make something different in your life and in my life. Aren't you glad failure's not final this morning? And certainly, Lord, what will thou have me to do? First of all, I think he would have us to glow in verse 3. Notice as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, I believe now as Saul has just got saved, he asked God this question. Lord, I want to know more about this now. What will you have me to do? Well, first of all, I think the Bible teaches us that as a child of God, we all need to glow. To glow. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. I say within this Bible question today, we find in the Scripture the answer. I believe God wants us to glow. You say, well, man of God, where do you get that thought? Well, Paul was traveling and God came to him. He came to him with a great light. Matter of fact, it was a light that impacted his life. And as a child of God, for Jesus is light. He lives in us. We ought to be glowing for the glory of God. Now, in verse 3, this light was shining. Oh, we need some lives that are shining today. God's light is still shining. Can you imagine what this world would be without the light of the Lord Jesus in it? What a dark place we live. But honey, aren't you glad when somebody turns the light on and you can see the Lord Jesus? I'm glad one day that heaven turned the light on in my life and showed the darkness of my heart. Now in this glowing, the light was shining. In verse 4, this light was striking. The Bible simply said that he heard this voice and he fell to the earth. Oh, child of God. As God's light is so impactful, we need to have a life about us that impacts others. At your job, where you work, where you shop, where you play, where you go, we need to let our light shine that we would impact others for the goodness and the glory of God. Now the light was shining. The light was striking. But in verse 4, that light was speaking. The Bible said he fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying unto him, child of God, I realize we're not God. We can't save anybody. But the God that lives in us can speak through us unto others. And Paul found out that within this question, God would let him glow. Wasn't it a great day in your life when God turned the light on what you was doing? Shined up your sinfulness, and by faith you reached out to God and He saved you and He moved in your heart, and now you can go for the honor of the glory of God this morning. The light was shining, the light was striking, the light was speaking. In verse 5, that light was stirring. And He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" You know, we ought to have enough light about our life that others would want to know something about Jesus. The Bible said that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become anew. If there's ever been a day and an hour when God's people needs to let the light shine through us to give others hope in their dark way. The devil will tell you there's no hope for your marriage. The devil will tell you there's no hope for your life. But honey, through the Lord Jesus, He can bring light and help to your situation. Give you something like you've never had in this day and in this hour. God has been good to us. And we see in this Bible question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Well, I believe He would have us to glow. Glow as a Christian. That light was shining. That light was striking. That light was speaking. It was stirring. But in verse 5, that light was sharing. In verse 5, He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, I've noticed something about God. If you want to know who He is, He'll let you know who He is. Well, who is God? Honey, He don't live down at the White House. Hey, He lives on the throne. He's in heaven this morning. I'm glad God sees us all as individuals. He's sitting high and holy, and He deserves all of our honor and all of our praise. It ain't nobody like God. I appreciate Him this morning. I'm glad on the road to Damascus in my life, God shined a light on me, showed me how wrong I was. I said, "Lord, help me in my life." And God saved me by His honor and His glory. Oh, I sure am glad heaven turned the light on. So here, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Well, I think in this text He would have us to glow. But secondly, I think He would have us to go. The Bible said in verse number 6, "He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go." Did you know all through the pages of your Bible, before you were saved, God said, "Come." He says, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden." I am glad we can come unto Him. But after we come to Him by faith, He tells us to go. Not to go away from Him, but to go into the world and spread the gospel. Turn the light on. Hey, mom and daddies, school children, young people, we need to realize that after we got saved, not only are we to go in our life, but we are to get going in our life. He said, "I want you to go." Now, watch your Bible in verse 8. Something struck me yesterday I'd never noticed. The Bible said, "And Saul rose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." Now, this way of going, notice in verse 8, there was a hand yielded as God came upon Saul. He arrested him of his sins. He showed him really how wicked he was. And Saul realized that God was talking to him and he was a sinner. And in this Damascus Road conversion, here, God told the Apostle Paul and He struck him with blindness. Could you imagine when you got up off of the ground and you couldn't see anything? Could you imagine what you'd do with your hands? I think Paul simply throwed his hands up and he said, I can't go no further without you. I believe that'd be a good start for all of us this morning to realize, God, I can't do nothing without you. God, I've got to have you. Would you take my hands, these hands willingly, Lord, would you take me by the hand? And they, hey, I'm glad there's a God that'll pick your hand up this morning. Honey, when you don't know the way, I'm glad there's a God that'll take you through the way today. Now you'll notice in this going, the hand was yielded. Verse 8, the hand was taken. He simply said this, but they led him by the hand. Not only the hand yielded, the hand taken, but the hand was kept. They brought him into Damascus. Now, I want you to notice after Paul got saved what he experienced. Paul experienced new friends. Paul experienced new findings. I want to ask you this. Those people that took Paul by the hand, led him down to Damascus, no doubt they were the ones that was traveling with him. As he awoke up in his blindness, they reached and got him by the hand and they took him on down the road. That's what we all ought to be doing this morning. Those in life that have lost their way, those in life that God has saved, we ought to be willing to reach out and grab them by the hand. Not push them to the wayside. Not tell them to go to another place. Not tell them to get another story or another Bible. But we ought to reach our hands out and carry them on down the roads of life. Somebody needs you to put your hand out to them this morning. Paul was saved. He woke up and he was blinded to this old world. And that's where every child of God ought to get this morning. The Bible said he's seen no man. This world gets bigger and bigger to all of us every day. But let me tell you something. We're strangers and pilgrims on a journey. Our father of faith, Abraham, he looked for a city. He didn't build one down here, for God had him one there. We better realize we ought to become blinded to this whole world and realize we're not going to live here long, but we're headed to the city where the builder and maker's God. Quit looking in this world too strong. Look up, children, look up. Hey, your redemption draweth nigh this morning. Oh, Paul's hands, they were guided. I want to ask y'all something this morning. How many people in your life have grabbed you by the hand and led you on down the road? I wonder how many people God has given you the opportunity to reach out to and lead them in a life closer to God. After people get saved, we have a tendency to say, well, they're saved, we're done with them. Let me tell y'all something this morning. You may drive a red car, a black car. You may drive a Ford or a Chevrolet. You may not even drive. You may walk. But if we're washed by the blood of the Lamb, we're all in the family of God. And we need each other. Grab somebody by the hand and lead them on down the road of life and be a blessing to them in this day and in this hour. Lord, what will Thou have me to do? I believe you'd have us to glow, don't you? Let our light shine. There was a little boy in England. His mother took him to a lot of the cathedrals, showed him them stained glasses that were so pretty. They all had Bible characters written on them and their faces on them. So, as the little boy got back from England with his mother, She asked him this question. Said, son, what did you learn about those saints in England? All those people that you've seen on those windows that everybody calls saints, what did you learn from them? He said, Mom, I learned saints are those people
that the light shines through. And can I tell you this morning, if there's ever been a day and an hour that God's light and God's love and God's purpose needs to shine through the children of God, it is this morning. What will thou have me to do? Now I believe God would have us to glow. And I believe God would have us to go into all the world. I'm glad we are a church that is involved in missions. There are several families that this church supports monthly. They're going, and I know that we have jobs and we can't go, but others can go. And that's why we give unto them. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe any church that's not mission-minded will soon close the doors in this day and in this hour. For the child of God, what will thou have me to do? Not only to glow, not only to go. But in verse 10, I think God would have us all to grow. Now, something unique happened here. What some of you don't understand is Saul, the Apostle Paul, he was a bad boy. He had a name. You think Al Capone had a name? His name was a lot bigger than Jesse James and Al Capone. The New Testament church knew all about Saul. He meant business. If he come into this place, he was caught up into religion. If he would come in this place, he would take the leadership out. Take them back to Jerusalem where they'd be tried, beaten, and stoned. Paul made havoc of the church. He had a big name, but God saved him. And I want you to look what God does to the next character here, and I'll be done preaching. His name is Ananias. Now, we pick him up in verse 10. These men are leading him to Damascus, and God had somebody waiting on him. Can I tell you, God's always got somebody waiting on you. God's timing is like nobody else's timing. You say, well, preacher, how am I assured that I get in on God's timing? Just serve Him and love Him. Stay faithful to Him. And you watch what God does in your path. The Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said to him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. There he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. God had a great job for Saul. He would change his name to the Apostle Paul. But I want you to notice that in this passage of Scripture, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I believe it would have us to grow. Now look at Ananias. Can you imagine this? You're sitting there minding your own business. All of a sudden, God moves on your heart to do something. He says, hey, Ken, I've just saved a man. His name is Saul. I'm going to change his name to Paul. I'm going to lead him down your house. Then I want you to be a blessing to him. I want you to help him. And I want you to look in this thing of Ananias and his growth. In verse 10, Ananias was available. He said it was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Are you available? I'm here, Lord. I wonder, are you available this morning? You know, God's not looking for the things in life that are so spectacular. God's not looking for just the choicest people. God's simply looking for somebody that'll be available. Are you available? I can remember when the Lord called me to preach, I said, Lord, there's just no way. It's just no way this is happening to me. But God knows what He's doing. And I want to ask you today, are you available? Number two, to grow, not only available, but in verse 10, are you approachable? He said, I am here, Lord. You know, that would totally change the whole ministry if everybody had that mindset. I'm not only available, but I'm approachable. Well, preacher, what can I do for God? You'd be amazed at what God would do with you if you were available and approachable. Some of you young people, you've got goals in life. And if you don't have goals, you need to get you a goal. You young people, you have a great vision in life. And if you don't have a vision, you need to get a vision. Be somebody. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever do is to be available to God in whatever He wants you to do. Church, the greatest church that's ever been on this side of heaven are those that are available and approachable. We get so self-centered, we don't have time. We're so pushed. Lord, not me. I don't have time. But here this morning, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? You notice that He was available. He was approachable. In verse number 11, He was appointable. He said, the Lord said to him, arise, go in the street, which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He says, I want you to go and get Saul, and you'll get the instructions when you get there. And that brings me to my next point. Look in verse 13. Ananias, we see he was very argumentative. You know what he's saying, Lord, are you sure? He said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to Thy saints at Jerusalem. Lord, are you sure? Are you sure, Lord? Lord, have you got me confused with somebody else? You want me to go see him? He's got a name everybody knows, and you want me to go down to where he's at? Lord, I'll lose my head. I remember one time at Lighthouse Baptist Church, there was a young man there who got saved. He wanted me to go see his daddy. He got a burden for his daddy. The girls was little then, Megan, Macy, just little old kids. We'd stay in Alabama after church and we'd stay for the night service. We'd go home a lot of times at Brother Randall's house. We'd go to other folks' house. That evening after church, he come to me that morning and he said, preacher, would you go see daddy? I said, yep, I'll go see him next Sunday. This is what he said. But now, preacher, there's a problem. My daddy don't believe in God, and my daddy don't like preachers. And I got thinking, well, Lord, is it worth even going down there? Next Sunday rolled around, I preached, and I went down there. And it was like a storybook setting, just like on a screen. I wish y'all could have seen it. I went down a long driveway and it just dead-ended into an old house about to fall in. Had an old country porch and a screen door. And you know, the way it is, I sort of hesitated about getting out. I was thinking, well, maybe he ain't home. Maybe he ain't here. Man, I got out of that car, walked up toward that porch, and I looked and the door was open. I stepped up on that porch and them old boards reeked and rocked. Somebody hollered out the door, who is it? Brother Mike, I looked around, there wasn't no deacons. But God is there. I said, sir, I'm a preacher. And you know what that old country fella said? Come in.
When I walked in, I seen one of the pitifulest sights I've ever seen since I've been saved. There was a man, done nearly 70-year-old, laying on that floor on a mattress, had his glasses off, and he was a-weeping. And I said, sir, God wanted me to come and tell you today that He sent His Son to die for you because He loves you. And that man started squalling. And he said, preacher, where do you preach at? I told him, next Sunday morning, there he was on the back, and I preached. Here he come down the aisle. He done something, Brother Mike, I never had a man do at that time in ministry. I said, sir, what do you need? He said, I'm going to die and go to hell and I want to be saved. And I turned and I said, well, just pray and ask God to save you. When I turned, Brother Mark, he grabbed me. And he said, don't you leave me. I don't know how to pray. I bowed with that old man. He stood up. And this is what he said when he got done praying and asked the Lord to save. He said, preacher, can I say something to y'all's church? I said, well, sure. I'll never forget, he had glasses like Coke bottles as this thick. He pulled them off, pulled a little white handkerchief out of his coat, and he wiped his eyes off, and this is what he said. He said, church, all my life I've been an atheist and didn't believe in God. But God just saved me this morning. And what he didn't know, he was eat up with cancer that day. And in 3 to 4 months, I buried him, put him out there in that graveyard where I pastored. But honey, let me tell you, he ain't in that graveyard this morning. His body may be there, but his soul and spirit is with Jesus. I'm glad God still saves those sinners this morning. I wonder, are you available? Miss Sherry, would you come? I wonder, are you available? I want to say this. Brother Larry McMillan, Miss Barbara knows this man. His name was Jesse Woods. I told you all about it old-fashioned day up in April last year or this year. And I was headed to Bowden one morning. I just got in from a meeting. I was tired. Cell phone rung. I said, hello. She said, Ken, I know you don't remember me, but I'm Jesse's wife. Would you come see Jesse? I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be right there. I went, walked in, there was Jesse. Jesse was crying. I said, hey, Jesse, how you doing? He said, oh, Ken, it's so good to see you. He said, Ken, he said, I want to be saved. I said, well, Jesse, God would save you this morning if you'd trust His Son, call upon Him. He said, I want to do that. Jesse prayed, asked the Lord to save him, forgive him. He raised his head up, and this is what he said. Ken, thank you for coming. Are you available this morning? I want to ask you this. Have you ever been saved? Are you ready to meet God? Because this one thing for sure, we're all going to meet Him. This is the dressing room for eternity. This is the time to get right. This is the time to get ready. Are you ready to meet God? If not, He would save you this morning if you'd come by faith. Realize you're a sinner. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun.
But I come to tell you today on this Bible question, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? He may have allotted this day for you to be saved. I hope it is. Because He'll save you today. Mom and Daddies, are you available? Hadn't we got busy? Hadn't we just really sort of lost focus? You ever think about your family dying, going to hell? You ever think about your friends, your loved ones dying without God? Does that ever cross your mind? This Bible's true. And this morning, God would receive you today if you would accept His Son in order to get to Him. For Jesus saves.